Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
All right. Well, so today is Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and we're going to do something a little different today. Taking a break from the Gospel of John. And we're going to do something that we do every once in a while, and that is simply talk about why we do what we do. A lot of times we get questions about some different things about what we do. And I was taught a number of years ago, not too long ago, but within the past 10 years, by a pretty able mentor who said, you should always be able to answer the question, here's why. Like, this is what we're doing. Here's why. You always have to be prepared. You should know the why for what it is that you're doing. So actually, the last time we did one of these by my records, do you know, Matt?
A while ago.
Yeah, June 2016. So we actually went a whole entire year without doing a why we do what we do Sunday. And this Sunday we have a little bit of a new twist. So you can see some of the questions are in your insert. And we're going to look at not all of those questions. I don't think we'll get to all of them. But if you look on the screen here, you're going to see a cell number. And at least eventually here, you're going to see a cell number. And if you want to ask a why question, like, why do we do this? Or why, you can actually ask a negative framed one, although don't be negative. But you can ask a negative framed one, like, why don't we do this? So you can, don't call that number, okay? Like, text that number.
The phone's in the room, yeah. So you hear it ring.
Yeah. So text that number, and there might be something on your mind or something on your heart, like you'd like to know why. And if we can answer it in the context of the service this morning, we will. If we can't answer that question within the context of this service right now, we will address that question one way or the other. Either we will address them all on Facebook, or we'll text you back and ask who you are, because so, like, texts are anonymous, right? When it's just a number comes up, we'll text you back, ask who you are, and if we can address it personally with you, we'll do that as well. So what I want us to do is, I want you to look on the back of your insert, and on the back of your insert, you're going to see a couple of things. So this is like starting at the bottom, but there's a scripture passage there from the Gospel of Matthew, my favorite gospel, by the way, the Gospel of Matthew, and these words are taken from what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, and this is where Jesus just kind of answers the question, hey, you know, you want to know what it means to be a follower of me, this is it. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7, this is what a Jesus follower is. So I think it might be fun if, I know, like, you never think it's fun when I say that. I think it might be fun if we read this together, all right? So we've got it all in the same notes. So let's read Matthew 5, 13 to 16 together. Here we go, 1, 2, 3. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So I hope that you'll get that everything that we talk about this morning and the questions that we answer and the way that we answer them all have this hope in mind, that as a church, as followers of Jesus, as the community of Christ, that we will be salt and light right where we are, right where we live. Because that's where we are. Like, we'll leave this place and we'll go out into our worlds, and we are to be salt there, and we are to be light there, and everything that we do as a church has to be able to put us in this place where we're not putting our light under a bowl, and that we're tasty, that we haven't lost our taste as salt. So let's pray first, and then we'll crash right into it. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we meet together this morning and as we talk together this morning, that charity, mercy, wisdom, and understanding would abound. Pray that your Spirit would knit us together and make us one. I pray that we as a church, we as followers of Jesus, may indeed and in truth be salt and light in this world where we are. So help us now, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so now you can go back around to the front side of your insert. And so we're going to look at three questions right away. And after the first three questions, we're going to see if we've got anything that we can address during the worship service from your texts. And if not, we'll see how much time we have going forward and look at some of the other ones. So the first question is, why are we preaching through the Gospel of John? And why is it taking so long? All right, so I don't know if that's been on your mind. And I didn't know it was on anyone's mind until Tuesday when I met with the preaching team, Matt, Tyler, and I.
And we just couldn't help but ask, why is this taking so long? Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I didn't ask the question. But there was this dreaded word that came out in this conversation, and it was, some people are having John fatigue. It's like, John fatigue, which is a really fancy way of saying we're tired of John. It's like, what? So I thought, you know what? Let's talk about that just a little bit, and there'll be a reason. So I want you to imagine that you have this opportunity. Like I'm thinking, like none of us could afford this, but imagine that you have this opportunity to take 1 month and tour Europe. Now, that might be pretty great. So you have a choice, though, when you go and tour Europe. Like, you can go and you can spend a few days in London, and you can spend a few days in Paris, and you can spend a few days in Stockholm, and you can spend a few days in Brussels, and you can spend a few days in Munich or Berlin or... Sarah, what other cities would you want to spend a few days in Europe? So there would be some others, right? So you could take a whole month and spend a few days in the major cities in Europe. Or you could take that entire month and just go to Paris. And instead of living out of your suitcase and going from hotel to hotel, you could rent a flat in Paris and for 1 month live there. Now, if you spent an entire month in Paris, you will have a greater sense of the ambiance of that city, because you didn't just skip across Europe. You came and you lived in Paris for a while. Now, both of those vacations would be legitimate vacations, right? Both of them would be beneficial, man. Like, I just spread myself out, and I learned a little about a lot. Or if you just went to one place, Paris or otherwise, then you would have learned a lot about a little. So the pattern in our church for the last almost 20 years has been to know a little about a lot. And so we have done, there's two kinds of preaching. Basically, there's topical preaching, and then there's something that we call expository preaching. Matt and I are mostly topical preachers.
Yeah.
So that just means we think of a topic, and then we go look to, they're both scriptural, But in topical preaching, like, you start with a topic, and then you say, okay, so what does the Bible say about that? And so then you go and you look at Scripture, you see what is, give me a topic, Matt.
That was a drugs.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know why that came first.
Good. So that was better than what was in my head. Okay. So what does the Bible say about drugs? All right, so you just go and you take a look at that. You think about what is the drug culture, what drives the drug culture, how does Scripture address that, and then you plan like a 4 to 6 week series on what the Bible has to say about drugs and the drug culture. So that's what you're used to here, because that's mostly what we do, almost exclusively what we do. Expository preaching is when you take a portion of Scripture, like typically a book of the Bible, and you say, we're just going to preach on that, and we're going to work our way through that. So that's what we're doing right now. This is called expository preaching, where we just take the text, we look at the text, what does the text say, and whatever topic comes up in the text, that's what we're looking at. So I've had some people say, you know, Pastor, we need to have some sermons on tithing. Like, so literally, this is what I've been in my head there. From people. We need to have some sermons on tithing. And my answer is, you know what? If it comes up in John, we'll talk about it. Now, that's a great thing to be able to say. Like, our topics won't be driven by what you think or what I think we need, but it'll just be driven by what God actually said. So that's the reason you would do that. Now, it's not uncommon. I'm taking so long. One of my favorite preachers is a guy, he's dead. All my favorite preachers
are... preachers are dead.
Yeah, all my favorite preachers are dead. Like, my dad was my favorite preacher. He's dead. So there's a great preacher in England named Martin Lloyd-Jones. And his sermons are the only sermons I can actually read. Reading sermons typically is very boring. Worse than listening to them, honest. So I don't read a lot of sermons, but I can read Martin Lloyd-Jones sermons. So this particular book... this is a collection of all his sermons on John 17. That is chapter 17. So this entire book is filled with sermons on John chapter 17. It's way shorter or way longer than what we're doing. So, oh boy. How many are there, Matt? 8. So these books are a collection of Martin Lloyd-Jones' sermons from the book of Ephesians. Just the little letter of Ephesians, 6 chapters long. You might have thought, wow, one book per chapter, that would be a lot. But it's more than that. It's actually 8 volumes long. How long would it take to preach through Ephesians if you had 8 volumes? I don't know if people actually live that long, but he apparently did. So, Let me suggest this. It's not that we're still in John. It's that Matt and I are still your preachers. Matt and I are not Martin Lloyd-Jones. There's only a handful of preachers that can really get away with this and do it well without losing interest. Like, you just lose interest, right? That's the problem. You just lose interest. And it's not John. Like, we would never lose interest in John if Martin Lloyd-Jones was your preacher. But Matt and I are. So it's a little bit different. So what we try to do is to offer John in certain packages. So we started out with a series called Signs of Life, and that was about 10 messages long. And then we had a series on the trial of the first century. And that was about 5 messages on John 5. And then we had a series on, what was the next one?
Did that go into Believe Me?
No, we had a series called Identity Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
So we took 7 weeks and looked at the 7 times Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the door of the sheep. And we talked about how Jesus's identity is a match for the various crises we face in our lives. Crises as not in trouble, but as in deciding moments in our life. And then we went into Believe Me, and then just these past 3 weeks, We had a very short series called Cross-Shaped, where we talked about cross-shaped repentance and cross-shaped worship and cross-shaped obedience, which I love what we're talking about in those messages. Coming up in the fall we get to go into this secret chamber. We're going to go behind closed doors with Jesus, where he's going to talk to these 12 and then 11 men who'd followed him for 3 years. So, like, give me your hand.
I couldn't figure out what you were doing.
So for 3 years, like, Jesus was holding their hand, right? Like, they just walked together, and Jesus is holding their hand for the first 3 years. And then it's like, okay, I'm not going to hold your hand anymore. This is what you need to know. You're going to be on your own, but not on your own. But this is what you need to know. So that's where we're going to be going next. So let me say this in closing about that question. I didn't think these questions would take quite that long. Heard a story about a preacher one time who, Sunday morning in his own church, he got up and he preached this message, and he just lit the place up, man. I mean, like, everybody was on the edge of their seat. He had them eating out of the palm of his hand, and at the end of the message, like, he gave like a next steps kind of thing. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to respond. And like, everybody in the church responds. It was like, whoa, that was the best message ever. God really moved through that message. That night, the pastor and several of his church leaders were driving to another church. And when they go to this other church, he's going to be delivering the exact same message. And he did. And he preached the same message with equal conviction, equal passion, equal verve. And you know what? The message came out of his mouth and it fell right on the floor before it even got to the first pew. Like, nobody received it. Nobody took it. It was kind of embarrassing, you know? And they're driving home and everybody's quiet in the car with that embarrassed kind of quiet. One guy finally spoke up and said, "Pastor, like what happened? your sermon was awesome this morning, and tonight it was like nothing." And this is what the preacher said: "Poor preaching is the curse of a prayerless congregation. Poor preaching is the curse of a prayerless congregation." Now, you know what? Poor preaching is also the result of really bad preparation. So it is on us. But if we promise to be doing our best all the time to bring the message that God is laying on our hearts, and to do it in a way that is maybe as creative as possible and as engaging as possible and relevant, if we promise to do that, would you promise to pray for us? Pray for me. Would you pray for Matt? Would you pray for Tyler? Would you pray for anyone else who brings the message on this platform? So that, and the bottom line is, we want you to love God's word. We want you to love God's word. And if we don't do well, that's on us. But if you pray for us, we'll do weller than we would. Yes, yeah, no?
Yes. Wow. I don't know, I could disagree. Just something I might want to throw in on that. You know, when you're looking at Scripture, you know, the most important parts for all of us to understand and for all of us to love and get our minds around is the Gospels. It is the story of Jesus here on earth. Like, that's where it's at for us. And so during this time we're spending in John, we're looking at the most important part of the Bible. And I think that's worth our time, and that's worth our attention to just kind of dig into and allow us to really understand it. You know, there shouldn't ever be, if someone comes up to you and say, "Hey, did you know Jesus did this in John?" You should never say, "Oh, I didn't know that." Should never, especially after we're done. Yeah. But but even before that, no one should ever say to you, "Did you know Jesus did this in the Bible?" You shouldn't be shocked to find out that's true, because you should just know, because that's the most important stuff. And if we claim the name of Christ, then we need to know the Gospels, and we need to know what Jesus did and what he said and where he went.
Yep, okay. All right, so now you have some idea why we're doing what we're doing with the Gospel of John, and that's all beside the fact that we actually believe God told us to do that. Here's another question that we're hearing lately, and this is especially pertinent to you, but we're going to talk about it at second service as well. Why are we changing the music style of first service, right? So did you notice that the music style has changed some at first service? Why is that going on? All right, so here's a couple things we need to say about that. Number one, when people are asking that question, we're hearing something that is a bit of a misunderstanding. One of the things that some people will say is, isn't first service supposed to be more traditional and second service supposed to be contemporary? And the answer to that was like, actually, no. And some of you are surprised to hear that. When we launched two services, and remember, we did launch two. We had one service that was at 10:30. Is that when we met?
Yeah.
So we had one service at 10:30, and then we started two services, one at 9:15, and one at 11, we got rid of the 10:30 service. On purpose, like this was intentional. We never used the words traditional or contemporary to apply to either one of those services. And I know you might think we did, and you're like, are you sure? I'm sure. Like somebody might have, but not the staff. We did not use the words traditional and contemporary. Now, the way those services developed was, so here's like the truth about this. Neither service is either one of those. Like this service has never been traditional. And those of you who have been in a traditional church that had traditional services, like you would be saying, yeah, right, that's not really traditional. And the second service, like this might really surprise you, some of you, the second service isn't really contemporary. It's just that first service was more traditional than contemporary, and second service was more contemporary than traditional. But neither one of them were either one of them. They just had some different music styles, and traditional and contemporary is more than just a music style. But we kind of had two different styles going on. So, and right now that's not the case. Right now, the music first and second service is for the most part the same. Same. And so here's why. Here's why. When we started two services, it was about people. It wasn't about taste. It actually wasn't even about time. And when I say taste, I mean preferences. So maybe 9:15 is your preference time-wise, or maybe the music that we were doing was your preference as well. That's not really why we started a second service. We started a second service for people. And so I think I can say, without being off, that for the first, at least for the first 3 years that we were in two services, it was a rare occasion that our attendance was under 300. I think there was a string there where we went more than an entire year of having over 300 people. There was one Sunday, it's probably not a coincidence, we had one Sunday in 2015, it was the 10th week of my sabbatical, so I hadn't been there for 9 weeks, and I wasn't there on that 10th week either. It was just a normal, plain old Jane Sunday. It wasn't a special Sunday, it was just Sunday, and Matt was preaching. We had 363 people in attendance that day. So 363 people aren't going to fit into one service. That's what we anticipated, and that's what we were ready for when we went to two services. So that was why You want to know why we had two services? That's why we had two services. So why do the two services look so much alike right now? I want to say maybe two things in this regard, and maybe Matt would say more. One just has to do with time and resources. Time and resources. To plan two totally different services takes, as you might guess, to have two totally different services takes twice as much time as to just plan one service. And it requires more personnel. It just so happens that where we are right now as a church, we do not have the time and resources to be able, even if we wanted to be able to plan two different services. Once we did, now we don't. We have neither the time nor the resources to be able to do that. Now, there are some churches that have multiple services, like four or five or six, and like one of those will be a traditional service, like maybe a genuine traditional service. And when they do that, they have a totally separate worship leader and a totally separate worship team. They have more time and more resources than we do to provide for that. So that's one reason. But a greater reason is, so this is just my heart on this and the truth in this. I felt like we were becoming too much of a separate church. Like we're one church. We're one church. And the first and second services were so different that you might not recognize, except for the furniture, that we were the same church. And so it was like my request to our worship leader, Sean Amy, to say, you know, it would be good if these two services looked more the same so that we could be one church. So that's a large measure of what's behind all of that. Mm-hmm. We have to be who we are. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Maybe I just throw in, it's worth you knowing that, you know, before the services became more similar, we would get comments, you know, like with people wondering if we were going to do some more contemporary songs at first service, and you know who you are. So don't need to point you out, but and I know some of you have been digging it just as much as some of you haven't been digging it right now. But I want you to know that the primary concern is that Jesus is praised and honored every single Sunday in this sanctuary.
That's right.
And if you've got a heart thing going on where the song is stopping you from that, then you need to recognize it's a heart thing going on. That you need to show love and affection for Jesus no matter what notes are coming out of the platform. That's where it's at.
Okay. All right, so the third big question, and maybe we'll spend less time on this because we talk about this a lot, but so this is maybe like a reminder question, like why are we building? And or maybe it's more like are we building? And the answer to both of those things is the answer to the second one is yes. As to why. So for some, there's a question like, do we need to? Do we actually need to build? And so the answer to that is, if this is all you think we need to do, if all we need to do is have a place where we can show up on Sunday morning at 9:15 and have a worship service, you would be right. We don't need to build a building. If this is what you think is all we need to do, or if this is all you want to do as a part of this church, like you would come in and you would go out and say, I don't get why we need to build. Of course you would not know why we need to build, because this is all you're a part of. If, however, we have this vision for expanding even things we do now, to be able to do, I had a banker in my office the other day, and she asked me, like, what are you going to be able to do with this new building that you can't do now? That's a great question, isn't it? Like, what are you going to be able to do with it? And a big part of the answer is actually more of what we're doing. So like if you just start with kids, like we're going to be able to do more for our children than we are right now because we'll have a different kind of building to do it in. But it goes to the adults. We're going to be able to do more with what we... Do you know, like, it's impossible... You know this, right? It's impossible for us to have any kind of church fellowship event in the winter, right? Like, we can't do it. Can't. Because it would be really cold under the canopies in the winter. So we can't. So it enables us a place to... be able to have more than eye to the back of the head fellowship. That's what you're experiencing right now, eye to the back of the head. But if you're actually in a room where there were circular tables and you could actually look at each other face to face, that's a different kind of fellowship. And that's the kind of fellowship that we can't do right now. And it's part of what it means to be the church. And we can't do it because we don't have a space to do it in. We're going to be able to do more in terms of what we do with teaching and discipling adults. So right now, the only space we have for an adult class on Sunday mornings is in meeting room A, directly on the other side of that wall. And from time to time, we have people ask, you know, couldn't we have a class on this Sunday morning or a class on that Sunday morning? And the answer is, you know what? That's a great idea. No, we can't. We can't, because there's nowhere to do it. But beyond all of that, there are these things we want to be able to do that we can't do, and it all comes under the label of hospitality. Like to be able to have wide open hospitality to our neighbors, the people that we want to reach with the restoring love of Jesus, to open things wide to them, to have a place where they can come into and there be like just a little bit of a, wow, what a great place to be, and to feel welcome in that place. And to create events where they can be engaged, where people within the community, outside of our tight fellowship, where people can engage. I was sharing a little bit with a friend of mine about the new building and where we were at with it and what we were doing with it. And you know what he said? He said, that new building is going to be the front porch to heaven for people in Titusville. Just let that image sink in on you. I love that. That's a hospitality factor. Like, you know, there are front porches you can go up on, and there are front doors you can't get into. We want to have, like, a front door to heaven for people. And that's what the building projects to be, just this wide-open hospitality.
Yeah, maybe the only thing I would just add, you know, God's really gifted us with opportunities in Titusville. And we need to do everything we can to take the most advantage of them. We talk about the different things that happen, just in terms of, you know, still every Sunday, you know, we have guests come in, and we need good ways to help connect them in places where we can have meals and things to help plug them in. We have children who come in every week for Kids Club, and, you know, they're kind of scattered throughout the hallways because we don't have enough space in terms of rooms. We need to take advantage of these things. I think we're at a point now where we need to say this is what God wants us to do, and we're just going to hold on to that, and we're going to get behind Him, and we're going to push into His flow, because this is what we're doing, and this is where He's brought us to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sherry's got something. She's going to run across the screen. Oh, there's an awesome question. Why are the prayer requests no longer in the bulletin? I should have Sherry Carbaugh come and answer that question. You want to do that? No, she doesn't. Okay. So the answer is there's not room. So here's the thing, though. There are on the information table in the back. Are they? What color are they?
It all says what color they are.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
So if you want to look in your bulletin where those prayer requests used to be, it says, each week we pray for our church family, and then in the second paragraph, for a list of recent requests, pick up a green prayer card at our information desks. Requests are usually listed for 2 weeks unless we hear of a continued need for prayer. So instead of being in the bulletin, they're on a nice card that you can pick up on the information desk, take home, stuff it in your Bible, and you can keep praying through them. So that's a great question. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to stop there. Some other good questions on your insert, and you might have other questions. Look on the back of your connection card here. They're not really next steps, but they're just, well, one of them is, but I want you to feel free to be asking questions. There's some things that I just thought were obvious, and maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. And whatever your why question is, it deserves an answer. And so if you want to know why we don't do something, fill that out. If you want to know why we do something, fill that out. And if there's something you would like to know more about, go ahead and ask that. And then at the end, we talk about these kinds of things, not all of these things, but these kinds of things at our newcomers gatherings. And we're having another one September 23rd. That meets right after second service for an hour or less. And we just kind of meet one another and help people that maybe they've been a part of our church for a little while or maybe just for a few weeks. But we just kind of want to let them know what it is that we're about. Okay, so here's the bottom line. These are your only two fill-ins on your insert. Whenever we're doing something that you wonder about, or whenever we're changing something again, there's two things that we want to say to you with a promise. Number one is we are listening to God. We're listening to God. Now, when I say that, I want to be really careful to add, I'm not saying that we're infallible, and I'm not saying that we always get it right, because we don't. Sometimes we get it wrong. But we're always listening to God and trying to understand what God is saying to us. Which is another way. We're not just making this stuff up. We're not just trying to do it on our own. We're really not. We're listening to God. And we're trying to be obedient to how we believe God is leading our church. Second, which I think you would want to know that your church does that. Second thing that we want to promise you is that we're always learning from others. We're always learning from others. And some of the people we learn from, well, I'm 60 now, so almost all the people I learn from are younger than me. We're not afraid to learn from people that are younger. We're not afraid to learn from people that are newer. We just don't pretend that we know it all. That's one thing I can say for sure. We are not know-it-alls. We are always learning, always learning, always learning. So whatever it is that we're not doing right, you should pray for us so that we'll learn from others what it is that we need to do a little bit differently. The mark, I think, of true followers of Jesus is that they are always learning and listening to Jesus. And that's what we strive to do. And that's what we would invite you to do as well.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T Free Church.